Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia. It's episode number 255 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag looks at how the NBA screwed itself with the play-in games. At 12:30, is Urban Meyer showing another sign that he may be in over his head in the NFL? And in mere minutes, another decision maker in college football mentioned playoff expansion. Plus, the NCAA will not have anything official in place when states begin to allow college athletes to profit on name, image, and likeness. You're shocked like I am, I know. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Monday, getting the week started. Crazy weather in the area. For those of you in the flash flood situation, we hope it is not too crazy in the next day or so. I think there's like a flash flood warning or watch or both in some of the surrounding counties to Travis County in the next couple days. So it's that time of year where flooding can occur. We hope you are safe and sound and healthy and happy and dry and all that good stuff on this Monday. Trey, I got a big old dose of normal on Friday, and it freaked me out a little bit. I got the first big test of, all right, big boy, you've had COVID, and you got yourself on a list, and you got yourself vaccinated, and when you're 2 weeks past it, now we got your first test. Got on a boat with about 15, 20 total strangers, not a mask to be seen. I made it through. Good time.
Congratulations. Are you going to stop wearing the mask inside this building now?
Felt normal. I don't know.
As people were trying to peer pressure you into last Friday?
I know. They've been trying to pressure. See, here's the thing. We're in a building where there is a doctor's office on the first floor. So until they take the signs off the front of the building, I feel like out of respect for the patients, I feel like I'll probably wear it in and out of the building. They don't know my situation. I don't know their situation. I'll just make, you know, if somebody's walking into the doctor's office, they'll feel a little better if they see me in a mask on.
Not that I'm trying to start the week out by making more enemies, but, well, it's me. Let's not necessarily rely on the property management company doing things in a timely manner as we conduct our own business.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we've had blinds that we're literally having to tie up by twine for about a month now because the property management company cannot handle their ish.
That's true. That's true. I'm just saying I don't know how much of that sign on the first floor has to do with the doctor's office. I'm not sure if they have any say in the if it's there and if they want that to be part of the protocol. I don't know.
The doctor's office is like 25 feet away, so they can set their own policy and everybody else can set their own policies too. I mean, the turn that we've seen people take in this office,
oh, it's amazing,
is impressive.
It is.
Like, there are folks that I still guessed would wear masks around this office building because they're exercising extra caution or whatever, and we've seen a bit of pushback on social media about people saying, I don't, you know, it's so funny, this idea of Hate Inc. that Matt Taibbi laid out so well in a book a couple years ago, just came out with the paperback. I interviewed him at Books on Pod, booksonpod.com. The most impressive element of that formula that pits us against one another is literally using the same talking points on one side and then the other side in very short order. Yeah. And a year ago, you had the most anti-maskers out there saying, you know, the CDC can say what they want to, but I'm taking everything that they say with a grain of salt. And now the other side, the most masked amongst us, right, are saying, despite the CDC coming out last week and saying, well, if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear masks anymore. Pump the brakes there, CDC. You have your opinion on things, and now I have my opinion on things, too. But anyhow, because we've seen such pushback on social media, I assumed at least a few folks in here would continue to wear the mask. And you know what? Good for you. If that's how you want to go about things, I totally respect that. Nobody is, though. It has been shocking and, I have to admit, a pleasant surprise.
It was on a dime, like 180 degrees from Thursday to Friday and then continuing into this week. So we hope you are feeling a little more normal and doing whatever makes you comfortable as this transition is going on, and maybe things feel like they're a little more normal in terms of that CDC decision last week. We certainly talked about that at the end of last week. We will get into some NCAA stuff coming up here because there's a couple massive dates coming up on the calendar here in just a little while.
So what did Friday night on the boat consist of? I'm assuming y'all aren't taking a plunge into Lake Travis or anything this time of year, right?
No. I mean, we had that option, okay. But
anybody taking that option?
Oh,
up?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
There were people in the water, and I saw the facial reaction of somebody that hit the water in terms of water temperature.
Yeah.
And once I saw her face and reaction, I thought, I wasn't really that jacked about getting in the water. Because of that, I figure, okay, I'm in the water, but then once I get out, I'm gonna have to dry off pretty quick, and what, you know, what's the temperature gonna be like? And then because I also knew we were getting back at dark,
mm-hmm.
you know, or beyond. So no, I did not go in the water, but a few people did, and yeah, I was just hanging out on the boat and a little food, a little drink, and mainly kind of, you know, it sort of felt like normal life. You're kind of hanging with a smaller group of people. It's not like I interacted with every single person there. But, you know, I interacted with a couple people that I've either never met or had been a long, long time since I'd ever been around them. And, yeah, everybody was cool. And I don't even remember it being discussed either. That was the other weird part.
Oh, that's nice. Because any conversation you get into now, especially with randoms, involves COVID in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I don't even recall that. Since it was connected to my wife's work, there was some my wife's work talk. You expect that. But then it was life stuff. It was the kids and the plans and what about this? And, oh, man, that was the best vacation. And then one of the women on board and I started talking music. And she started talking about one of the coolest music trips she ever took. And it just felt really normal. And I remember driving home thinking, wow, that was cool. That was really cool. I hope people are getting a little taste of those moments.
It does feel good to cross certain thresholds again. Like I mentioned a week ago that I had gone out in the domain that prior Saturday, and it mm-hmm. was shocking to see how many people just weren't even really flinching on this idea of wearing masks at a crowded bar, including the employees, too. And on the one hand, you wonder if we are exercising too little caution. On the other side, it's like people are ready to get back to normal, and I totally respect why they're going about things the manner that they are.
Yeah, and one other piece of perspective that hit me when I'm on this boat, because I started to have this weird, not anxiety. I didn't sound like I had an anxiety attack or anything, but I had that thought of like, whoa, it's a lot of people and I haven't been around this many people. And I just kept saying to myself, dude, you've been vaccinated.
And you had it too.
You've been right.
So you're double protected.
Right. You have been vaccinated, plus you had it. So it's like, for those of you out there that were wearing a mask and wearing a mask and you've always been wearing a mask and you got vaccinated, remember, when you go into that situation the next time, vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are in a much better situation than if you'd had four masks on.
Yeah.
Much less the one you started with. So just maybe if you think of it as that, like it's not a physical mask, but it is protecting yourself a whole lot better than a mask was.
Yep.
So, because we knew when the mask thing started that it was kind of as good as we could do at that point. It was a temporary kind of thing, you would hope, but it was also nobody was getting the idea out that wearing a mask was going to be completely, you know, this is the way to do it. This is the way to fight back a pandemic. I think we were all smarter than that.
No, the solution was herd immunity, some combination of if you get it and it provides long-term protection, which the science, before they stopped paying attention to these things, suggested that it did, and then also vaccines and expediting the vaccine process. And now that we've seen both of those things play out and they're on slightly different timelines, but as many people as gotten the vaccine over the last 2 to 3 months now, it has made this possible.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
It's made going on boat parties and hanging out at bars and eventually getting back to live music and comedy shows and all sorts of other things that we just enjoyed without a second thought you know, a year and a half ago and for our entire lifetimes up till then.
Crazy stuff. So hope everybody's doing well on this Monday and you're getting back to feeling a little bit normal. Sports always feels normal to us as we come into this week. There's a lot going on. We always have football to talk about. We're going to dive right into some of that. We've also got a lot of local stuff going on, whether it's Texas baseball, some other other sports around Texas. The spring sports doing really well right now. Also, for you gearheads, NASCAR is coming to COTA this week, and we'll be talking about that throughout the week and getting you some extra coverage. But, Trey, we start the week kind of where we left last week, and I'll just say it. I'm shocked. I can't believe it. I was taken aback when you told me earlier today that the NCAA has decided they're not going to make any decision on name, image, and likeness before July 1st. Wow, was that a surprise.
Yeah, this is according to CBS Sports. Dennis Dodd, who does a great job for CBS Sports. The NCAA Council, well, they have discussed putting something in place that would create a uniformity as a number of states take this option on their own to try and figure something out this summer to level the playing field. Well, the reality is that's not going to happen by July 1st. So we are about to see that quote-unquote unfair advantage in certain states that will begin to allow their college athletes to profit off of name, image, and likeness at that time.
Mm-hmm. So now my next question will be, if you're being a realist about this, we all realize unfair advantages already exist for the big-time schools. We can all agree on that, right? There's an unfair advantage for Alabama trying to get a five-star over, say, Vanderbilt or Tennessee or A&M trying to get that same five-star. They have advantages. But the question here, Trey, is, how much is the NCAA going to allow? How flexible will they be for how much stuff is about to go from under the table to on top of the table? And then how comfortable are they with what remains under the table? How to explain what goes on top of the table? There's a lot that's about to happen. Remember, June 1st is when the deadline ends on the dead period. Official visits come back. These kids have not been able to go on campus in like a year and a half. Maybe not quite that long, 15 months, 12, 15 months, whatever it is. But then July 1st, we've already talked about some of the states that have laws in place. We were trying to figure out late last week if Texas was going to do that. Still a little unclear if Texas has made their choice. But each state's going to do their own thing. So now the NCAA is going to have to understand that it's going to be different.
And I jumped the gun a little bit. The legislature, the Texas legislature, is actually in session until May 31st. So This will be announced at some point in the next 2 weeks. It faced no hurdles in the Senate. Everything is passed with flying colors in the House so far. So it is only a matter of time before Texas jumps on board too. But their law will not go into effect until the beginning of the state's fiscal year on September 1st.
And again, that brings back the question for me, when am I allowed to negotiate? They're going to have to figure that out. That needs to come out by the end of this month. September 1st might be the day it goes into action, but can I negotiate? If I'm the player, can I negotiate? Can my dad negotiate? Can I get an agent that negotiates for me? How will this all work? And that's Texas. So that applies to the Longhorns and the Aggies and everybody else. But then there'll be a separate rule for Alabama, we know is going to have it, some of the other SEC states.
Yeah, six states total, and they are mostly SEC states, with the exception of New Mexico. Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and Tennessee are the other five, other than New Mexico.
What about South Carolina?
South Carolina is not July 1st. I believe South Carolina has passed something.
Okay, because that's Clemson.
That's true. That is Clemson.
Like, South Carolina is not a big dog, but somebody in their state is.
So I feel like they have passed something, though, that goes into effect this year. It just may not be July 1st.
So that's the messaging I would give to the NCAA. If you're not going to care, you need to be consistent and not care. You're going to have to allow a certain level of Wild West here at the beginning as they figure it out. You know what I mean? You're going to have to let Nick Saban and Dabo and all these coaches and players and parents and agents and all, there's a lot of things that need to be figured out. You can't be an over stickler as the NCAA. You can't be overly Mark Emmert about it at the beginning of this. If you're saying at the beginning you don't even care enough to really dig into this and throw a rule out.
Well, here's where it gets sad for the NCAA too, Chad. They still have a chance to do something this week to recommend some sort of passage on name, image, and likeness legislation. Because the NCAA Council meets this Wednesday, but they are so far from a consensus right now on what to do that they're going to drop the ball here. And something could actually get voted on and implemented by the NCAA Council meets on Wednesday. NCAA Board of Governors would vote on it in June, so they could have something in place by July 1st, but they continue to drag their feet and have enough infighting that they are not going to find that one common bond that will allow them to level the playing field. And maybe that's because they realize that they have more time, that these six states will have a bit of an advantage, but they can delay the process a little bit further because not every state is on board just yet. I don't quite understand it.
The California angle also fascinates me because when they go online, what are they allowing in terms of agencies getting in touch with these kids? Because they have a geographical advantage. And if I looked at, I don't know this for sure, but I bet if I looked up where every agent is located in this country, I'll bet you there's a lot out west. I'm not saying there's none in New York. There clearly are going to be some east, but I'll bet you there are a lot out west, a lot in LA, a lot in California as a whole. So how does that play into it? What will they be allowed to do, you know, here at the very beginning of this process? But this June 1st and this July 1st, wow, there's a lot happening all at once. And so this is, we say it all the time, Trey, that the kids themselves and the parents have had to become more and more educated as the years go by, more and more educated about technology and this. Hey, wait a minute, my kid's got a, you know, a Twitter account. Well, could something he tweets put this in jeopardy? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it could. We've seen that happen plenty of times, right? Kid hadn't even taken a snap or been involved in a practice, and he gets kicked off campus and kicked out of school because of something he or she throws on social media. You had to do all that, but now you're at this whole other level where deep down the family knows, all right, man, we know there's a game being played. He's got an older brother. He's got an uncle, right? His uncle went to this school or his dad went to this school. We know there's a game being played. So now they've got to sit in the living room and find out from Nick Saban and Dabo and Ed O and Jimbo and Sark and the whole crew. Okay, guys, what's the game now? We know what the game's been. How much of this do we get to put on the table and actually tell people about? And how does my son, you know, nephew, brother, or whatever, take advantage of his name, image, and likeness? Walk us through how this is going to work. What the heck is Saban? What is Saban's the one I'd love to be in on once he gets to June 1st, because they've already thought this through in a way nobody else probably has. But all of that's about to happen in living rooms starting June 1st. And then who knows what happens July 1st?
Well, unfortunately, you probably need a semester's worth of a class to truly educate these individuals on the power that's about to be at their fingertips now, literally and figuratively at their fingertips, given the situation. But at least most of these states are implementing something that includes like 5 to 6 hours of initial education to understand what's allowed, what's not, the fact that you are going to be paying taxes on this because this is income, so make sure you're keeping track of that, because a lot of this may involve you as an independent contract employee. There are a lot of tricky elements here that schools and states that are responsible for these college athletes beginning to make money need to ensure that they're at least providing some education on. Certain things will slip through the cracks, and I'm sure we'll hear stories years from now about guys ending up in trouble with the IRS or not tracking things correctly or ending up ineligible because they crossed certain lines that they were told initially that they weren't supposed to. You need to provide that initial education to help them avoid those things if possible.
A lot of stuff coming on that story. Keep your eyes peeled for it. We'll obviously be talking a lot about that as we get closer to June 1st. Also, last week we talked about a new commissioner in the Pac-12 and how that could affect some discussions about college football. Now, as the week starts, we've got some comments from the new ACC commissioner. I'd forgotten about this one. A guy named Jim Phillips has taken over for Swofford. So we've got the ACC and the Pac-12 with brand new commissioners. This new commissioner, Trey, says he wants thorough assessment of a college football expansion before he would agree to it. He says he's not opposed to it, not against it. And he also says he kind of likes the idea of a conference champion getting an automatic bid into a playoff system.
Okay.
So for those that are not keeping up, we are into the eighth season of a 12-year plan. So we have college football playoffs coming, unless something changes, for the 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25 seasons. We have five more seasons to go of this system. This will be the eighth year of the 12-year run. And a few weeks ago, Hancock and the crew did get together. They threw out some ideas all the way up to, I think, a 16-team playoff. But they've said nothing's going to happen next year or the following. May not even happen all the way through 25. So they're still kind of putting things up in the air. But I do like the fact that the ACC commissioner, second biggest dog right now is Clemson. I think we can all agree with that. The fact that their commissioner would say a conference champion deserves to be in, Trey, I think that's important because I think the SEC and the ACC recognizing something like that could help everybody else.
Considering how much we're hearing this conversation happen, including amongst those who are the most responsible for inciting change, I'm starting to feel confident that we'll see this. Maybe 2022 is a bit ambitious, but by 2023 or 24,
right,
this feels very doable.
Well, I hope you're right, because think about it. If the transition really starts to happen in 24 and 25, like we've talked about with new TV deals, Trey, what better way to entice the TV networks than to give them more games that matter?
Right.
I mean, that's the brilliance. That's what you should be thinking about. Give them games that matter. Think about it. You could make a game in the ACC Coastal. Don't laugh. Let me finish. You could make a game in the ACC Coastal matter in a way that it's never mattered before.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll tell everybody, hey, you know, this is the battle for the ACC Coastal. Well, who cares? What do you mean, who cares? If Mack Brown and North Carolina win this game, they will be in the conference championship game. And if they win it, they're in the playoff. Wait, what? Who? Like, that's why.
Yeah.
You can just go backwards and make more and more games relevant. That's what, to me, the TV networks want to know about. So that's what I'm hoping. So
exactly. And we're seeing that in other pro sports leagues. I mean, you're going to talk about the NBA play-in games coming up in the crap bag today. They've made more games matter at the end of the year. Yeah, it's versus teams that are scratching and clawing just to get into the actual playoffs, but you've created a mini version of what March Madness has gotten right for so long now, right?
Yeah. No, they have.
That's, well, I guess it's a single game elimination on one hand, and the other is you lose, then you really are playing for your playoff life after that, and that's amongst the two teams that otherwise would have been into the playoffs to begin with.
Right. Yeah, no, they're creating those little moments in other sports. Hopefully college football can do that. So keep your eyes peeled for both of those stories. Maybe good on Jim Phillips for getting those kind of things discussed. But nothing official. College football playoffs saying probably this season and next season we go with the system we've got. Maybe they'll look at something after that. Up next, let's turn to the NFL. There's lots being discussed about what Urban Meyer's got cooking in Jacksonville. Well, he can't even wait for the first game. He's doing all kinds of things different. We'll tell you what he's got in store. Also coming up at 12:45, as Trey mentioned in the crap bag, I'll get you ready for that NBA play-in format coming this week. And I got a question of the day for you off of a famous birthday. Plus at 1, it's Joe Cook of Inside Texas. Hope you're having a good start to the week. It is Monday, and this is The Horn. Getting the week started on a Monday. Sometimes Trey goes with the new music on a Monday. Sometimes it's other things. What do you got, Trey?
Nope, it's new music Friday on a Monday, Chad. Yeah. Starting with Saint Motel, It's All Happening.
I think you've played them before.
Yeah, I like Saint Motel. Yeah. They usually have really good instrumentals, and the lyrics aren't too far behind.
Yeah, I cannot remember one of the... there's some newer artist, female artist, that was a Saturday Night Live over the weekend, but Keegan-Michael Key did a really good job, and she's kind of got this weird, what was her name? She's really attractive, but the music...
Wasn't Angel Olsen, was it?
No, it was, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she's somewhere, kind of living somewhere between Billie Eilish and Taylor Swift. Somewhere in that range. Not quite as scary as Billy, not quite as poppy as Taylor. Just right in the middle of that, a brunette.
Olivia Rodrigo.
There it is. Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you for saving me from my horrible setup there where I didn't know her name.
Let's see.
She was very good.
Oh, yeah.
For what she was doing. I can see why she'd be big. And then when you put Keegan-Michael Key on Saturday Night Live, it needs to be good. That's a sketch comedy guy.
Yes.
And it worked. That's some good stuff.
Good stuff.
So as we get started on this Monday.
Apparently they had a good spoof on the CDC and its mask reversal last week.
Oh my God, it was great. The opening thing with Kate McKinnon as Fauci. Have you seen that yet?
I heard Justine watching it last night. I found myself chuckling a little bit. I mean, you know.
Oh, my God.
About what you would expect with just hammering the CDC for as back and forth as they've been on things.
There's a couple of mind-opening moments on Saturday Night Live for me the last few years. One of them just is the idea that a female comic could play a man just as a male comic could play a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate McKinnon and A.D. Bryant have both proven that they can play men and it can be funny, and they can, like, A.D. Bryant has been Ted Cruz. Mm. And Kate McKinnon has been Anthony Fauci. Kate McKinnon has been Lindsey Graham and Rudy Giuliani. I mean, she's now kind of got a run going where she's imitating guys. But that was good. The Fauci stuff, and they put different scenarios out there about masks and stuff. It was good. So in addition to that, over the weekend, we start a week in sports with a lot going on locally. Remember, you've got COTA and NASCAR getting together. I think it's the first time all three have run out there. They're going to run trucks. Please stay away, Rain. The trucks, what is it now? Is it still Infinity Series? I'm an old man. I want to call it the Busch Series. I believe it may still be the Infinity. But then also the Cup Series. Everybody going to be out there at COTA, and we'll get you some extra coverage this week. Rodney and the crew from Revved Up, they'll do their normal show Saturday morning and do an extra show for you on Sunday, 12 to 1:30, as we get ready for the Cup race. We also have the PGA going on this week. Go to hornfm.com for your chance to win our golf challenge. Make your picks. The overall weekend tournament winner receives a $50 Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue gift card. So go to the top news post there at hornfm.com and make your picks. All right, Trey, so as we come out of the weekend, the Emperor to Tom Herman's Darth Vader is leaning hard on being the smartest guy in the room. He's an expert at it. Urban Meyer has been the smartest guy in the room his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's already throwing things out in Jacksonville. It's got some NFL folks asking a few questions. So, obviously, last week we talked about the Tebow thing. Is he going to bring Tebow in or not? I don't think we've had an official decision yet on whether he's going to bring Tim Tebow in. Have you heard anything definitive?
No official decision. Supposedly, that's going to happen this week.
Okay. The second one that I heard was the pitch count on Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, apparently, they want him at like 30, 40 throws and no more because they got him on a pitch count.
I'm okay with that right now.
I guess I'm all right with it.
There's no reason to overdo it at this point.
That theory I like, but when you tell me it's about the injury that he's recovering from, and then you remind me that it's the other shoulder. I mean, I'm not saying the left shoulder is not a part of it, but the guy's not going to take hits. And so, all right, I guess. Sure.
Well, there are movement patterns, and you know, while it may not make sense if you just pay very passive attention to these things. You need both shoulders to throw the football with one of your shoulders really well. You're just going to have to trust me. There is a movement pattern that involves a lot of different parts of your body, including the other shoulder.
So I get that on a basic level. Young kid coming in. This is rookie mini camp we're talking about. I get that one. And that sounds like you're just taking care of the kid and you're being careful. That's the third one that's got me asking questions. When I see the report over the weekend that Travis Etienne, their first-round running back, is being used at, not just used, he will get most of the snaps at wide receiver in the rookie minicamp. I'm thoroughly confused about this.
I don't quite understand it either. If you wanted a wide receiver, Urban Meyer, there were some good guys you could have gotten near the end of the first round.
Right.
Travis Etienne, while he is a great receiving back out of the backfield, is a running back. Yeah, you have James Robinson there. Yeah, you made a, I'm not going to call it questionable, you re-signed Carlos Hyde, who had obviously been with Jacksonville a few years ago before Houston, then Seattle. Now he's back in Jacksonville. Fine, you have a stacked running back room. Travis Etienne was a stud at running back at Clemson. There is no reason to deny him reps there just because you want to make him more comfortable as a wide receiver.
Well,
unless you're planning on shifting him to wide receiver.
Now, Trey, obviously what you want to do is make sure you're not taking reps away from Robinson and Hyde. So maybe that's what he's doing here, because obviously Robinson and Hyde are a part of reps right now, right? Oh, wait. No, this is rookie minicamp. Oh, wait, this is the thing.
Oh, wow.
This is the thing designed to get my rookies more time. This is the thing to get my rookies designed for more reps. I read that reasoning for this decision.
Well, that's especially stupid then.
I'm like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, once the season starts, ETN's ability to get out and catch some pass, yeah, sure, fine. But those guys are nowhere to be found right now. I am so lost here. Now, the coach that knows more than we all do, because he is the smartest guy in the room, said, quote, "That's the reason we drafted him. Is the opportunity to be a dual threat guy. And our history, careful, as long as we've had a guy, careful, like that, and we saw him as a guy like that in the draft this year. Right now we're focusing on the fundamentals of wide receiver play, learning the offense from wide receiver. Like I said, worst case scenario is you have a running back that's elite with wide receiver skills. Best case scenario, he's a legitimate dual threat guy," end quote.
I mean, all right, it sounds like the justification is that we're going to have him in motion. He'll end up lining up in certain positions as a wide receiver at times. And I guess it makes sense from that standpoint, but he should still be starting him as a running back who goes in motion and then sets as a wide receiver on the outside versus just starting him out there.
Can I give Urban Meyer the other worst case scenario he forgot?
Sure.
Worst case scenario, you don't give him enough reps at running back and he misses an assignment and Trevor Lawrence gets crushed and that other shoulder goes breaky-poo and then you have to figure out who your backup quarterback is in year one. That's the worst case scenario, Urban.
Yeah.
This makes it look, and then when you, the phrasing he uses when he says, yeah, when we've had it, in our time, when we've, Urban, you have not done this. Throw some respect to the league, will you? This is your first time to be an NFL coach. And this is a tough boundary line. I'm a fan of a franchise where it worked perfectly. The Jimmy Johnson transfer to the NFL worked perfectly once it took hold. And Jimmy was right. Jimmy, we all had to stand back and say, you know what, JJ? Never mind. Never mind. And I will be glad to admit I was completely wrong on all this if ETN immediately turns into Kamara and he never misses an assignment and he never misses a blitz pickup and everything's cool. That's fine. But to me, to go out of your way to do this stuff now, I just don't know why. I'm not sure why you would do this. To me, rookie OTAs, this is the perfect opportunity just to get ETN used to being an NFL running back.
Yeah, and by the way, Jimmy Johnson never felt over his head with regards to personnel decisions. We've already seen that out of Urban Meyer this offseason in trying to lure free agents to Jacksonville, where he's making these quotes at the end of that process, just basically calling it a debacle, or him bringing a guy like Chris Doyle aboard after he goes through what he did at Iowa with the abuse and potential racism and the reasons why he was ousted from Iowa City after more than two decades on the job there. For Urban Meyer to just flippantly bring him aboard his own staff was a questionable decision. The Tim Tebow possibility right now, even though on the one hand you can justify it because he's trying to set a tone with work ethic and what he expects out of guys to come in and give their all each and every day, there may be a lot of guys in that locker room that look at that as a clown move by him.
Yeah.
So he's already losing more with his reputation within his own locker room. It's one thing for us to sit here and talk about it. It's a whole nother thing for the guys that he is responsible for to start to tune him out this early in the process. I don't know. There are some red flags that are really starting to rise with him in the NFL, Chad. And I am starting to question whether or not Urban Meyer is cut out to be a successful coach at this level.
The other guy I've been thinking about, I don't even know his name, is what do you think if you're the receiver standing in line and Travis Etienne's in front of you? He's about to take a rep. You're a receiver. You're just trying to make it in the NFL. He's taking reps from you in rookie minicamp. He was the first round running back drafted, but they're letting him have your reps? What message does that send to the wide receivers as well? And that, because this tells me, Trey, he's trying to rethink the whole draft as well.
Yeah.
When you draft a running back in the first round, that means something. And it needs to mean something pretty. If this was some fourth or fifth round guy out of Memphis, I wouldn't say a word. I would not say a word. Play him wherever you want. It's Travis Etienne.
It's a running back that you spent first round capital on.
I don't understand.
Which is already a risky decision.
I do not understand. But Urban is the smartest guy in the room. I'm sure he'll be right. All right. Joe Cook of Inside Texas coming up at 1. Up next in the crap bag, was the NBA right to put together the play-in format? I'll tell you where it looks good, and I'll tell you where it looks kind of bad right now as we get ready for tomorrow and Wednesday's game. Stay with us. It's The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
What you got, Trey?
New music Friday on a Monday, Chad, includes the Black Keys. Poor Boy, A Long Way From Home.
Definitely sounds, the compliment I'll give them is, sounds like them.
Yeah.
They haven't sounded like themselves in the last little while, but I dig his voice. He just had a birthday, Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys, and that's a band I'd like to see live at some point. I'd love to see what that looks like.
I'm fascinated
by the idea of like whether it's a club, stadium, or whatever. You're basically a two-piece.
Mm-hmm.
But then what do you put on stage with you? They're so talented. They just got blues oozing out of them, even though they don't look like it. They look like they ought to be playing Coldplay tunes when I see them. Or they look like they ought to be playing like nerd rock.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They just seem really nerdy, but they're just two white kids that grew up listening to old school blues.
Yeah, they look like they belong in a yacht rock cover band.
Yes.
Perhaps. Yeah. Or a Weezer cover band.
There you go. I was going to say they'd be really into Weezer, but I'm guessing they might not be really into Weezer. But new Black Keys out there. New full album or just a couple tracks from them?
I'm guessing full album because the album title is not the song title. Delta Cream. Cream with a K is the name of the album.
All right. New Black Keys. That is always good to hear. We've got, as we said, a lot going on around here. Check out hornfm.com. Craig and Jeff talked with David Pierce earlier today. You can check that interview out right now at hornfm.com, right there on the front page. Or you can check out, of course, the Light the Tower page. Big series for Texas. They play West Virginia here. If they sweep it and TCU gets beat just one time in that purple matchup, in Manhattan, if Kansas State gets them once and Texas sweeps, Longhorns will get that regular season Big 12 championship. Obviously, the tournament is coming as well. All right, let's get into the crap bag. I'll tell you what else is coming.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. We'll tell you more about them in just a few minutes. But right now, let's talk about the NBA. What they got right, what they got wrong. I'll have to admit, the play-in thing has gotten my interest, and the part they got right is kind of what Trey was mentioning last segment. It's that they've created interest where there might not have been interest. The idea that your 7 seed and your 8 seed are going to play for the right to get, you know, the right to be in the playoffs. Here's where it might have gone wrong, though. Here are the two 7-8 matchups. Washington against Boston in the East and Golden State against the Lakers in the West. So what does that mean? That means one of those two teams, each side, might not be in. Now, one of them's guaranteed to be in. That's the good news. The winner gets in, but the loser might not. And that means that the winner of Charlotte, Indiana, and the winner of San Antonio, Memphis, has a shot to get in the playoffs. If something weird happens, if there's a weird tweaky injury, you just never know. So that part of it, maybe they'll look back and say, I'm not sure if we should have done it. But I don't think we can say I don't think we can say no to this notion. With all due respect to the four teams that play in the early games Tuesday and Wednesday, Tuesday night, the late tip is Washington and Boston. That's Russell Westbrook against Jason Tatum for the right to be the seven seed. That's kind of cool. And then Wednesday night, it's Golden State and the Lakers. It's Steph against LeBron. By the way, LeBron just said he thinks Steph should be the MVP of this year. And the winner is the seven seed. And both of those losers would still have a chance to be in the playoffs. So I have to admit it, I'm kind of interested. Tomorrow night is the East. Wednesday night is the West. Spurs fans, as I mentioned, you are in this thing. You still have a shot to get in the playoffs. Congrats to Steph, by the way. He got the scoring title over the weekend. He did it after the age of 33. Trey, there's only one man that's ever played in the NBA that got the scoring title after turning 33. You know what his name is?
Michael Jordan.
His name is Michael Jordan. Very good. Those are the only two guys to do that now. Also, congrats to Kyrie Irving. He finished the year as a 50-40-90 guy. It's a rare list. Only about nine players have ever done it. 50% from the floor, 40% from beyond the arc, 90% from the free throw line. And he joins Bird, Steph, and Durant as the only guys to do it while averaging 25 points or more. So congrats to Kyrie Irving for that. By the way, I think Bird did it like four times. If you need it, Bird did not just do it once. But that's a heck of a list to add to. So you've got the NBA play-in coming tomorrow night. Also, if you missed it, the Preakness, it was not Medina Spirit had never been passed, but now two horses have passed Medina Spirit, and one of them still got its ass whooped because Rumbauer, which sounds like a really cool dessert, busted everybody up at the Preakness. So now we go into the Belmont without a Triple Crown possibility, whether the drug test comes back positive or not. So all that's going on. Plus, there's a birthday today that has a question rattling around in my head. It's actually yesterday's birthday for Megan Fox, 35 years old. If you're a nerd like me and you love Transformers, you remember the movie, right? Megan Fox, along with what's his name? What's my man's name?
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. Thank you very much.
There we go.
The hottest Megan Fox has ever been in her life, the original Transformers. As the years went by, we found out that Megan Fox had a condition which grossed some men out. That condition is called brachydactyly. Her version of it has been called clubbed thumb. She's got, to some, a little bit of a strange-looking thumb, and I've heard men say, Trey, that they would not date Megan Fox because of the different thumb.
Does the thumb just end at the knuckle? Is that what the problem is here?
It is a more, if you look up clubbed thumb, you will see. It is just, it's a shorter thumb, shorter, a little more rounded, and the nail is a little compressed. It's short, you know, it's less nail that you're seeing. So it just, it's a shorter thumb.
Megan Fox.
You'll see, just Google Megan Fox thumb and you'll see it pretty quickly. So the question is, have you ever ended a relationship for a superficial reason? What is the most superficial reason you have ever ended a dating relationship? Hopefully it's not a marriage. You wouldn't have gotten to marriage if you were, you know, ready to back out for something superficial.
Oh, she has toe thumbs.
Some would call it toe thumbs. Yes. Seinfeld did a whole episode on this kind of stuff. She, you know, how was it the woman ate her peas weird? She stabbed the peas instead of shoveling, and that's why Jerry left her.
Well, that's a good reason to leave somebody.
Or whatever it is, right? Does she have man hands? Is she a close talker? Whatever those reasons, what is the most superficial reason you have ever ended a relationship? Trey, I admitted mine to you in the pre-show meeting. I'll throw it out. We'll get the discussion started.
And I'm not going to mention mine until 1:30, by the way.
All right, fair enough. When I was in fourth grade, I was in a phone conversation relationship with a girl who was in third grade. It was like my brother knew her sister, that kind of a thing. We were talking, we were sort of pretending like we were kind of in a relationship, and then we set up to meet. And when I met her, I did not meet her face to face. I saw her from a distance, and I realized, whoa, it was a little bit jarring in fourth grade. This is hard to admit. but just wasn't what I expected.
Mm.
A little bit younger than me, but she was, I didn't love the face. Let me just say that. I hate to say it that way.
But bit of a butter face?
I didn't love the face, and in my mind, because I'm such a dork, we were on rotary phones back then, I told myself, do you really want to keep dialing that phone number to find out where this could go? Ultimately, I just worked her out of my life, because the last four numbers of her phone number was like 9969. I'm like, three nines? Three nines and a six for that? No, I can't do it.
Anything over five or six felt like a lot of work. If you're dealing with just a couple of those, to have three of the last four be nines, yeah, I understand that
one. It was a horrible thing to do. It was superficial, but there you go. Someone text Trey, I ended a relationship because her bottom tooth was not straight. Got on my nerves so bad.
A lot of people have issues, dental issues, I should say, in terms of that other person. If even a little bit is off, that'll do it for you.
Because you can't guarantee they'll fix that. Right?
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can't.
But it is fixable, though.
It's fixable, but you can't ever... You'd have to, like, have the conversation and try to work it into the conversation. But how do you do that nicely? You can't, like, in the first dinner say, so, ever thought about getting that tooth fixed? I mean, you can't do that.
See, mine had more to do with... And again, I'm not going to share the details until we get to 1:30. Mine had more to do with poor decisions that were made that are just difficult for me to walk back with you.
Okay. Yeah, I know. That could be part of it, too. What are the superficial reasons you've ended a relationship? Someone says they left a girl because her feet were too big.
And how about this? Let me add this one to the possibilities for you.
Big feet?
Oh, yeah. The big feet thing. Have you never dealt with that before?
I guess I never really have.
The one girl that I hooked up with through Craigslist casual encounters had bigger hands and feet than me. Needless to say, things did not go well that day, nor did they continue going forward. But how about this one? Just to give people an extra option if they want to contribute on the Specs text line, but not necessarily give something embarrassing about a person they previously dated. What would be a superficial deal breaker for you in your attempts to date Chad or me?
Oh, that could be good. Or maybe just right now. Maybe you're single right now. And you're thinking to yourself, I could never be with someone that's got blank or that whatever it is. Maybe you got your superficial list now.
Or that.
There's nothing more superficial than dating apps now. But yes, what is it? I'm sure with us it's not even superficial. It's going to be more
legitimate.
Way more legitimate than that. Somebody might, you know, see me today on the Twitch stream and say, well, he's got a Mavericks shirt on. I could never date a Mavericks fan. Maybe they're a Rockets or Spurs person. They couldn't do it.
Well, you threw this out before the show, too. Like, are there people out there that would not date, if they're a Texas fan, they would not date somebody who went to Oklahoma or A&M or roots for Oklahoma or A&M?
Are those people out there?
I guess they probably do. But, boy, if that's a deal breaker for you, if it's somebody that loves college football but roots for your rival, like, and you're just not okay with that, you are pretty good with dying alone at that point.
Yeah, like before we hit the break, if you met a woman that looked like Carrie Underwood, that acted like Carrie Underwood. She wasn't Carrie Underwood, but like Carrie Underwood, she loves Oklahoma, born and raised, and is a Sooner fan. Would that be enough to just stop dating someone? Let us know the most superficial reasons you've ended a relationship. Up next, Joe Cook of Inside Texas. Huge week for Texas baseball. We'll throw a couple other things at him as well as the NIL discussion continues. June 1st is coming, and July 1st may be even bigger. We're talking about it today on The Horn.